Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and joining us on today's episode are Anurag Sabu and Gaurav Pushkar, the co-founders of Dimensh, a D2C brand that's redefining the standards of quality, aspiration and comfort for the modern man. Anurag and Gaurav are in conversation with Sudipto Sanigrahi, Vice President at Matrix India, and they talk about the origin of the brand Dimensh, how the company attained strong customer love over a short span of time, what it takes to build a profitable D2C brand, and much more. Tune in.
Welcome Anurag and Gaurav to Matrix Moments. For our viewers who are already not customers, Gaurav and Anurag are the founders of Dimensh, a men's D2C apparel brand. For people who have already tried their products, you will know how customer obsessed and product focused they are. And for viewers who follow their social media page, will be aware that they stand for an inclusive modern India man, and they're sort of building products for people like us, and not probably for actors and entertainers. On top of that, I think they have also built a very strong business. They're focused on core categories for men, which can be worn daily, leading to high repeat purchases. And they have an inventory that never ages and is timeless, which is great to see as an investor. And we'll talk about a lot about how you build the business and why it's a great D2C business. But before we do that, I think it might make sense for our viewers to know a little bit more about the founders. I know you guys graduated from IIT Delhi in 2012, joined Snapdeal very early on in their journey, and then moved on to Nykaa to literally build their entire product function, right? Nykaa is doing so well. You were doing so well in Nykaa. So what led you guys to leave Nykaa and then start a D2C men's brand in apparel? Not that intuitive, but I'm sure it will be an exciting story. Maybe let's start with that.
Thanks, Sudipto. Thanks for such a warm welcome. And me and Gaurav have known each other for more than a decade now. And we used to be roommates at times and maybe on the other room in the hostel in the same wing. And then both of us together started working in an e-commerce industry. We started working at Snapdeal.com, where we were both working on complementary functions, front-end and back-end. And then we moved together to Nykaa.com, where I think we worked for almost 4 to 5 years, setting up product department and eventually working across multiple functions, be it marketing and integrating business with product and technology. And eventually we saw a huge, huge learning as well as exposure at Nykaa.com.
Yeah, overall, we were very close to the brand ecosystem in Nykaa. Though the core job was to take care of product and technology. But since the company was small, it was early stage at that time. So we were close to marketing, we were close to analytics, we were close to the brand side of the company. So it gave us an exposure to how this brand function works. And as you mentioned, that we were close to the overall online e-commerce space. This, along with some personal experience, like all of us, we are also online apparel user, and we realized that out of all that apparel categories that we have, the essential wear category is stagnant. Throughout the world, people are more exposed to new materials, high quality stitching, better fits. But in India, there was a stagnancy in this entire essential wear market. And we realized this after trying, I think, everything that was there in the market in terms of mass, premium and luxury categories. So that's how it clicked us that, okay, there is stagnancy, we are close to this ecosystem, we know how this online e-commerce works, and all these things combined actually gave us some insight and gave us this basically validation to start this brand.
Got it. And I remember Anurag meeting you in Regis probably 6 months before it left, and probably that's the first time we've spoken about building a brand for men. But first, why Dimensh? Dimensh ka matlab kya, and why Dimensh, and who is your TG that you're building for, and then probably we can get deeper into the products.
So Dimensh as a word means, it's originated from the word Mensch, which is in English, incorporated from a German language, which means the man. And so Dimensh essentially means the man, and we are creating products for men, for today's men, which are not about being macho, but which has a lot more value to give to anyone outside besides being macho. They are smart, intelligent, they are ambitious, and we are creating products for them. Our while we target age group from 18 to 45, our core TG lies between 25 to 40 years of age. And our focus lies on there, and we create premium products for them.
Got it. Got it. When you started, right, first of all, I think for our viewers, right, it's always great to see founders with 10 to 12 years of history and chemistry, because starting up is a journey with both ups and downs. And when you have such true friendship and sort of complementary skill set, I think it goes a long way in building a large company. So when you started, right, you identified this is the TG, this is the man you want to build for. There were two choices you took. One, you decided you will be in the mass premium zone and building mass premium products. Second, you started with the innerwear category. What led to those two choices?
I think from the quality perspective, the product that we were trying to give to the customer after the initial exercise of looking the same category in the global space, we realized that there needs to be a high quality fabric, better stitching, overall quality control needs to be very high, and that can only be provided at a premium price segment. It is difficult to provide that at a mass price segment. And at the same time, when I talked about the stagnancy in the market and the essential wear category, I think innerwear was the most stagnant category. The garment that I was using as a user for last 15 years, actually it's the same. Maybe some color change here and there, but it's the same. That's why I believe from the intensity of stagnancy and from delivering the quality that we wanted to deliver, these two things decided our journey to start premium innerwear segment.
And innerwear as a category has been highly commoditized. Most of us might even not know what product we are wearing maybe today. And then 5 years back, what the major players were there in the industry, they have been harping about and then selling this product in a very commoditized way, in a same way. And hence, consumers like us would not really ask for anything new, and they will not really give anything new. And hence, we try to see what can be done to evolve this category, not from how you communicate and talk about this category, make them understand, but also innovate in this product.
No, fair, I agree. Like probably in the last 15-20 years, it's the same brands with the advertisement of a same macho man coming and saying, wear this innerwear and probably will win against all the villains in the world, right? I think that has been the positioning. And it's interesting to see that with the launch of innerwear and subsequently everything that you've launched, right, you have been consistently rated the highest in your category in Amazon. Every time we do an NPS survey for Damage, it's more than 50 and sometimes 70 to 80, right? So what has led to the customer? Like, take us through the journey on how do you create these products? You spoke about stitching. You spoke about how you focused on building a product which is better in quality than everyone else. So what goes in the product sort of manufacturing and design process that leads to such strong customer love?
I think it starts with the focus. Our focus is product quality, design, fit. The overall package should come out as a highly premium product and at the same time high on utility. How we do it, we start backwards. We see what are the core and subconscious issues that a customer is facing. And it's not about asking them directly. It's about asking them directly, going from the sideways and then collating the entire list of issues. Then deep diving into material, deep diving into fit, and deep diving into the market practices or what is already going on in the market. With all these things, when we are ready with the product, then we go to the most important part, and that is the feedback. Before every launch, we select a large number of customers to do this feedback. And we are never shy to reiterate even at the cost of delay in launch. So all these things combined actually enable us to make a very highly rated product. So just adding to that, in most of the categories, yes, we are best rated brand. And even in that, on most of the subcategories, we have a very high we have a very high gap from the second best rated brand. So yeah, that's majorly, I'll sum it down to the focus. And post-launch also, it's always our priority. As a practice, what we do is every 15 days, entire company will sit and we will just read all the customer concerns. We will not solve it. We will not go a brainstorming session. Just read it. Everyone will have that in their back of their mind whenever they are taking the next decision. This helps.
And just to give you an example, when we are planning to launch, say, a West category of our products, we actually talked to almost 100 of our consumers in innerwear category, underwear category, and tried to understand what are the concerns or what are the things that actually create any problem to them. We realized that people say it becomes very hard after washing, or it kind of shows up in my underwear through my shirt. We realized that there's a big notion that when you wear a white vest, it will not show up through your skin, through your shirt. But it's actually a difference between the skin tone. Your vest color should match your skin tone closest. That will make that problem solved. And hence, we launched 5 options, not just a white vest, which will actually cater to all the color tones of an Indian skin type. And that makes the difference. And that is still the highest rated vest product on Amazon today. Initially, it was actually the highest rated product globally in Amazon.com. And then we saw great success there. And then people are just asking for more options out there.
So again, pausing, if you're not a customer, try the products out. You will start feeling some of the difference. I know we spoke about that we're the highest rated product on Amazon, but more than 50% of our sales are through the website, right? So as you thought about building this brand, how did you take choices in terms of channel, which channel to go after? How do you determine what should be your social media sort of presence and strategy?
So one thing which was very clear to us is we have to communicate our story, make consumers understand the problem they are facing and share the solution to them. And the biggest space for that was our own platform and then maybe our own social media through which we can tell that story very clearly. And hence our focus since beginning has been to make people understand through social media channels like Instagram to how great our product is, what kind of problems it's solving. And then from there, we market heavily on social media through the story, which make people come to our website, understand it, and then purchase. And rest, all other channels give a complimentary substitute to consumers.
Understood. Got it. So, as I reflect on what you said and sort of how we think about D2C brands, right? We like brands, first of all, which are obviously have huge sort of customer love, which comes from the product. And we love product-focused founders. We also like brands, which are brands and not labels, which means it should sell significantly on the website, it should have high NPS, and people are buying for the brand. And some of that we see in sort of cross-selling. You launch a new category today, it really takes off, right? The other thing that's very interesting from an investor's point of view when we look at a brand, right, is the full price sell-through. How much of the brand sells without discounting? What are your margins? And I know you have been sort of contribution margin profitable since day one, and you have never lost a rupee while sort of selling your products, right? So tell us a little bit about how you architected the business. How do you think about your margins? How do you think about working capital? How do you think about inventory? And what goes in building a profitable D2C brand?
So it starts with setting the right price for the product, which will sell in the market. Once we have that right pricing, we go backwards and see what is our GM to have a healthy unit economics. And being D2C helps that there significantly, because we can cut the middleman, we can create a premium quality product at a price point which is very competitive in the market. And once we do that, the next step goes towards figuring out what set of products or what is the width of products that will work for most consumers. We try to take insights from our social media, which has almost 100K following, which our consumers gives us insights as in what kind of colors they would like to have. And based on catering to 80% of consumers there, we are able to figure out our width, which is limited and core. And that makes it very unseasonable. It's not a product that will last you only for autumn winter season or winter season. It will last you for years. That kind of design language will stick with you for long, and hence there is no need for liquidation of product.
Just to add to that, unlike most fashion brands, we are never relying on the discounting part. We rarely discount. Most of the times when we discount, it is always in the combos, and that actually does not hamper the unit economics. And on top of it, we have predefined targets for the retention, which actually helps us to bring down the CAC. With the type of products, with the type of communication we are doing, we are able to maintain that repeat rate so far in the market.
Very interesting. I think fashion brands generally probably face 2-3 problems, right? One is full price sell-through, which leads to very high discounting because you're not able to sell everything in the season. And two is balance sheet loss, which is liquidation of inventory. And three, in the online world, very high cap. And I think with the choice of the category and the quality of products, you've solved all three really well, which leads to the economics that you have, right? Moving slightly from economics to growth, and growth is always something that's that gets spoken a lot about in the ecosystem. I know you've crossed you being a 100 crore brand, and you're well on your journey to be something really larger. But how do you? What's your ambition, long term ambition with Garments, and what do you truly want to build? And B, sort of how do you complement growth with economics, and how do you make choices within the company?
So we started with innerwear as our entry product into market by keeping a couple of things in mind. Our product needs to be distinguished, innovative to whatever is there in the market, and also non-seasonal, so that it lasts for long. From there, recently we launched and entered into other categories like t-shirts and shorts, which is a loungewear category. And we, within first month of our launch, almost 20-25% of our business with just a limited portfolio of those products is started coming from these new products, which made us realize and evaluate the whole men's apparel ecosystem even more deeply. And now we have realized there's almost 10 to 12 product lines that we can create over the course of next 1 year, which will give us growth in this men's apparel system. Each of these products have one common thread, that it is distinguished in the market. It solves a problem for a consumer. It lasts long with them, and there is no seasonality in them. So our next 12 months focus is to expand our product portfolio. And then this automatically will give us almost a 3 to 4x jump in our baseline today. Beyond that, we are exploring multiple other opportunities. We are exploring how we can reach Indian consumers even more through other channels, online first, and then maybe exploring other offline channels in future. And then we are also exploring other opportunities in different geographies because the brand is of international standard and the product quality is of international level. How can we make consumers which are similar to Indian profile consume these products in future? So we are exploring a couple of other routes there as well.
Got it. And I know we keep on having this debate, but if you want to grow, right, if you say I will become a CM to break-even brand, you can grow exponentially well. But you have always been held in that this is the contribution margin I want because this is what the brand stands for. So how do you make those choices and how do you think of growth versus economics?
We are a brand, not a label. A brand can control its contribution margin. The way we want to build it is one customer buying more products instead of many customers buying one product each. We can do a growth hack by discounting more, but that's not how we want to build. By controlling our contribution margin, staying true to our core value of a high quality product. That's how we want to build it. And that will give us a high repeat rate and a better brand positioning in the market.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, we have grown 6x pre-COVID today, and we are fine with growing 3x, 4x every year. Most important part is we have realized online marketing is becoming so competitive. Paid marketing is not an option for brands to build anymore. That can always be done anytime. It's about what consumers you have already got on board, figure out right problems for them, solve for them, and all the flows of new people coming in will add to up. And hence, the products which we launched recently, they started contributing since day one because our existing consumers wanted them. And figuring that out is something which is our prime focus. And we've figured out almost 10 to 12 categories and product lines for our existing consumers. If we are able to build that right, I think we don't really need to burn money in paid marketing significantly. That can always be a push which can be peddled anytime.
Yeah, and I think for our viewers, this is also instructive. Which is they have very healthy contribution margins by the way, and they have grown 6x since COVID, but as investors, we still keep asking that question. But focusing on your customers, and I know we were discussing once, and you guys told me that you want the same customer to buy with you 4 times in a year versus getting 4 customers to buy once, right? Which truly reflects in your cohorts and the way you want to build it, which is very interesting to see, and which ties back to the beginning where I said as an investor, I love the company because not only it's solving for men, but it's also solving it in building the business in the right way. Moving away from business questions, probably one final question from my end. When you told your friends and family that essentially you're leaving Nykaa and the first product is you're going to build innerwear, and you had bought all these fancy men's innerwear from around the world, USA, Australia, say, and trying all of that out and then building an innerwear company, how did friends and family react to it?
So for my case, it was a repeat. I said that I want to quit the job, do a startup. Say, okay, you want to quit the job, do a startup. Yeah. So I said, we will be selling men innerwear. You will be selling men innerwear. That's how it was. And that there was a long pause and they said, okay, you do whatever you decide. Then a few days after, I heard them calling someone and saying, no, they sell clothes. They sell apparel. They did not say that they are selling innerwear for men. But over the time now, they believe that it was a right choice, and overall they were pretty fine with supporting.
So in my case, while my family was quite supportive, my wife, which is today, she had a lot of doubts because most of my gallery images had either Gaurav Pushkar wearing an underwear or vest or me myself taking selfies. So I had to explain myself a lot there, but she was very supportive, and today I think we have come a long way from there, and then people are now much more supportive today.
And I also know, Anurag, like your family also invested in the last round as an angel, right? Which shows the confidence that they have. I hope your family uses the products that you have, hopefully, that has, and that gives them the comfort and the confidence of what you are doing.
Absolutely. Not my family, but my wife's family, and then the friends of that family, all of them in Gujarat is spreading the word for our brand, and then all of them consume our products today.
So my father ordered a beige color vest, and he has never ever tried anything except white. And I was surprised that why did you order a beige color vest? He mentioned that from your communication, I could realize that it will not show up under a white shirt. Then it was a pretty good moment that we are able to communicate to him that, okay, this is what is the usage of this color vest.
Good to hear, and fantastic journey and growth, and hopefully so the next 12, 24, 36 months are even better. But thank you guys for taking the time out and coming to Matrix Moments. I'm sure this is the first of many that we do together. And for our viewers, if you've already not bought Damage, I'm saying it for the third or fourth time, please try it. And thank you so much for taking the time out.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.